Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Friday, December 5th, and we have some good conversations, helpful conversations ahead of us. Just yesterday, we were talking about violence and teens and adolescents, and looking at that from a number of perspectives. Got to hear from Pastor Onken about some of the teens in his congregation that were at the high school in Marysville, Washington, at the time of that recent school shooting, and then hearing from Dr. Ludwig on what leads up to this. Today, we're going to deal with, we're going to talk about parents' fears and all the things that parents might struggle with in terms of fears. We're going to talk with therapist Janine Liebman about how to cope with those fears. What do we do with those fears when we have them? So we're going to talk about that. And we'll also talk with Dr. Mary Mons Simon in the second half of the program. She served as a host of a program here. You might remember Front Porch Parenting here at Worldwide KFUO. We're going to talk with her in just a little while as well and see what she's up to these days. Hope you can join us for all the conversations. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin on our website, kfuo.org, and look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section there. Speaking of our website, go check it out. You can find all kinds of information about our 90 days, celebrating 90 years of worldwide KFUO and the opportunities that God has given us here to tell the good news of Jesus and how you can partner with us. We have our beautiful giving tree in the studio this week with the names of all of our partners who are supporting this this opportunity to tell the good news of Jesus. So go check it out, kfuo.org. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/KFUO radio. There you can see pictures of the tree in the studio and the staff decorating the tree. Go check it out. Well, joining me in studio today, Janine Liebman, a therapist and serving as EAP counselor and consultant with H&H Health Associates and a returning guest to Faith and Family. Janine, great to have you back in studio today.
Hi, Andy. Thanks. It's good to be back.
I think last year about this time we were talking about coping with the holiday blues and some great and helpful tips and insights as we were dealing with that. And now thinking about with some of the things that that parents fear. Just yesterday we talked about the school shooting, and right as we were having that conversation, there was a simulation going on. An armed intruder simulation going on right at the high school right next door. And so just thinking about that as a parent, while my child is not in school yet, thinking, man, I'm afraid, you know, for the world that my son is growing up in and going, all the things that he's going to encounter. And recently came across a helpful article from the National Fatherhood Initiative, too, on dealing with fears for your children. Chris Brown, the president of National Fatherhood Initiative, presented the questions and some ideas and thoughts on how to respond to that. So I thought it'd make for a good conversation today. Now, you're a parent as well.
Right.
And ever have fears when raising your kids?
I think all of us have fears for our kids. I think probably at some point, all of us have that moment where we wake up in the middle of the night in a panic with our hearts beating hard, and we just can't stop worrying and thinking about whatever it is that we're worried for with our kids. So if you haven't had that yet, you probably will as a parent. I just think it goes with parenting. It's impossible to avoid being afraid as a parent.
Absolutely. And I think for some of us, it even starts the moment we find out that we're going to be parents, mm-hmm. That we are parents, that we're expecting a child, and for fathers, those worries may be different than for mothers, but right. Some of them, I'm sure, are very similar, thinking how are we going to provide for this child, and what are they going to be? What are they going to need? What if they have special needs? All these questions mm-hmm. that go through our minds, and we begin to worry.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? You know, how do we deal with that worry? I was referring to those early days when you find out that you're going to have a child. Then come the school years, and many of us send our children off to school, mm-hmm. And they're going to encounter the rest of the world. And we start developing anxiety and fear about all the numerous things that they're going to face while we're apart. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably when many fears happen, is when we're apart from our children. We can't control what's going to happen.
And I think that that's where anxiety stems from, is we recognize that we cannot control. And you, mm-hmm. you mentioned that you use the word expectations. From the moment that we learn we're expecting a child, we have expectations. Mm-hmm. And so we would love to see all these expectations come to fullness, but we cannot control so much, not only in mm-hmm. our own lives, but in our children's lives. And what we find is that we may have this beautiful little baby who seems like we can do everything for them, but pretty quickly we realize they have their own will, they have their own personality, they have their mm-hmm. own desires and wishes, and they're a little sinful person just like we are. And so mm-hmm. we can't control our children. And not only that, but we can't control the world around us. Like you mentioned, we are listening to and watching all these terrible stories, especially right now. And so we realize the very little amount of control we do have. And I think that's where that anxiety comes from.
When counseling individuals or maybe couples, has this come up? And I know with parents, do parents come to you and say, "We're just worried about little Johnny, and what happens when he's at school, or what happens when he's with someone else?" Does this happen in
all the time? Yeah. All the time. And it's not only when their kids are little, but I have had adults who are in their 50s and 60s and 70s come in and talk about how worried they are about mm-hmm. their grown children. This is something that I think it's universal, and it's so important for us to, I think, talk about it, because number one, it affects our parenting choices and decisions. If I'm afraid all the time and I'm reacting out of fear, I'm going to make different choices for my kids than if I know how to manage that fear. And the other reason it's so important is that how we deal with our fear and anxiety, that is observed by our kids, and that's picked up by them. And they learn so much more from what we do than what we say. And those can be lifelong lessons that they carry with them. So it's really important that we as parents learn how to deal with our fears in a healthy way.
So how I react to dangerous or negative things in our environment, in our world, our son is picking up on that mm-hmm. and learning those things even right now. And more so as a elementary school age child, really picking up on those things. Then comes the fear of sending them off to college or mm-hmm. off into their first career, off to live on their own. And as you said, adults with adult children, you know, in their 50s or so, fearing for their children's lives when they're out of the house mm-hmm. and worried about what's going on with them, what's happening with them. And yet we probably, you know, as children, we still learn from our parents how they respond mm-hmm. To those fears, to those things that frighten them. Some top fears that parents face today, primarily talking about younger children mm-hmm. to begin with here. Some of those top fears, and I read the list from that Chris Brown shared with us in his report in the Huffington Post. Mm-hmm. Some of the top things: childhood obesity, bullying, smoking, alcohol abuse, drug and substance abuse, child abuse and neglect, internet safety, and teen pregnancy were among the top things on a list from a national poll that parents worry or have fears about. Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting, childhood obesity on the top of that list.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I've read other lists too, and it seems to be always in the top five that mm-hmm. people are worried about their children's weight. And, you know, that's one of those issues that actually you as a parent can do something about, because mm-hmm. you are your child's first role model. And so what you do in regards to food and health and exercise and taking care of your body, your kids see that. And for the first probably 10, 15 years of their life, you're the one that makes those food choices for them, what you buy, what you mm-hmm. keep in the house. Mm-hmm. And so you really do have an opportunity to influence them in terms of establishing healthy eating habits and healthy living habits early on.
And it's not the do as I say, not as I do right. that they learned from. It's the what you do. Just as you said earlier, they learn from our actions probably mm-hmm. more so than they do from our words, especially if our words don't match up with our actions.
Absolutely.
So what you buy, how you eat when you go out, if you go out, how frequently you go out mm-hmm. and what you're eating when you go out, what you keep around in the house and how you What is your relationship with food?
Right, because it can become a problem the other way. You can be so obsessed with your weight that people can develop very unhealthy eating habits in terms of restricting and becoming very unhealthy in the efforts to stay thin. And so exactly establishing those healthy eating habits and lifestyle choices early on, that's one of the best things you can do to protect your child from those issues later in life.
Have you seen the recent commercial? I think it's Weight Watchers has commercial, and it's, I think most of it's sung about eat. It's about basically about eating your emotions,
to your emotions. But that's very true for a lot of people.
it's so true. Eat when you're happy, it says, and then it's eat when you're sad, eat when you're angry. And that's really kind of what our culture has led us to do. And we teach those things to our children. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so, I've just had a rough day. I'm going to have half of this chocolate cake.
Right. And tied in with that, one of the other fears you mentioned is alcohol and substance abuse. Well, that's another thing that we as parents can model when our children are early. Do we come home and when we're stressed out, we say, oh, I just need a drink, or I just need to take my pill to calm down? I mean, there's a lot of things that we do that our kids are always watching us. And so how we handle our stress and our fears, again, they're going to pick up so much from what we do, even more than what we say.
So healthy ways, we'll get to healthy solutions here for fears in just a moment. When we have fears, we talked about lifestyle choices, eating and alcohol abuse and drug abuse and smoking, those types of things really pertain to, healthy choices for us. But things that we really have little to no control over, bullying that our child may encounter at school, child abuse and neglect from another caregiver, internet safety, we certainly have some control over, and teen pregnancy. Those were some of the others in the top of the list there. I think bullying or violence that they might encounter outside, when they're away from home, is probably a fear that many parents encounter. How do we deal with this fear? I'm sure there's an unhealthy way to deal with this fear. Are there healthy ways to deal with it as well? How can it be useful?
Well, and certainly bullying does top the lists for a lot of parents. And, you read the statistics on it, and 1 in 7 children is bullied at some point throughout their childhood.
And only 1 in 7?
It does sound kind of low, doesn't it?
I would think it would be much higher.
It probably depends how you define bullying. Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, we can focus as parents on how do I protect my children from every bad thing that could possibly happen to them. Or we could realize and acknowledge that, bad things happen in life. And I don't mind necessarily, not that I want bad things to happen to my children, but I need to teach them. My job is to teach them how to deal with those bad things when they do happen. If we think that bullying ends when a person is 18 and they never have to face another bully in their life, we're really living in a fantasy. The reality is people are going to treat us badly throughout life. People are going to take advantage of us. Mm-hmm. People are going to be mean or abusive or hateful to us. And so if we can teach our kids, when this happens to you, this is how you handle it. This is how you stand up for yourself. This is how you set some boundaries, some healthy boundaries. This is how you work on overcoming and moving forward and forgiving, those kind of things. So we change our focus from being a helicopter parent to trying to protect them from every bad thing in life to how do I help my child face the real world that they are going to live in? I think that can be tremendously helpful in calming us as parents and helping us deal with our own fears, get that under control so that we can focus on what our kids truly need.
I can imagine for some that would be a tough balance because you certainly at a young age, you don't want your child to encounter every evil that there is out there in the world. You want to have some sort of balance in terms of regulating how much they encounter. And that, I guess, comes with what they see. First of all, what they see on TV and the internet and in movies, regulating that to some degree. But you don't necessarily have a whole lot of control about what happens outside the home other than determining where, having a say over where your child goes when they're outside the home.
Right. And, you know, let's take the child abuse, because a lot of parents do fear their children being abused or neglected. And, you know, it can help to arm yourself with the real facts. Mm-hmm. Again, what we hear in the news is these sensational stories, mm-hmm. Because that's what is driven by ratings. Mm-hmm. And so we need to look past the sensational headlines, mm-hmm. and we need to get the real facts. And the real facts in terms of child abuse are that by far the vast majority of children who are abused are abused by people who are in their families or their loved ones. And so, yes, we need to do what we can, obviously, to protect them, put mm-hmm. them in safe environments.
Sure.
But we can't always protect them from people in their families. But what we can do is teach our children and to tell us mm-hmm. right away, you know, somebody did this to me, or somebody said this, or they touched me in this way, and I didn't know what to do. It made me uncomfortable. I can't tell you how many adults have come to me in my practice, and they tell me stories of abuse as children. And the first time it happened, they were abused or molested. They went to a parent, and the parent ignored them, or the parent said, "Well, we're not going to talk about that." They covered it up, or they didn't deal with it. I mean, one incident is a tragedy, and it needs to not happen. But can you imagine when that happens repeatedly? Because mm-hmm. when they went to their parent, you never learned how to deal with that. Mm-hmm. And so there are things that we can do. We can't always prevent somebody doing something bad to our child, but what we can teach them is, you come and talk to us, and we will listen to you, and we will deal with it. We're not going to look the other way. We're not going to allow other people to treat us this way.
So it's important to communicate, to help your children know that they can bring anything. They can come to you and tell you anything, and you're going to listen.
You're going to take them seriously. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They need to know that you are a safe person, and that they can say whatever they need to say, and you will listen to them.
Mm-hmm. Listen and ask questions to learn more. But the key part, it sounds like what you're saying is the important thing is that they need to know that they're going to be heard.
Yes, and that you will do whatever you need to do to help them be safe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, that's important. So how can fears be useful? When we're afraid of something, when we have fears, can it be useful? Can it be useful to motivate us or provoke us to do something that's good?
Absolutely. Any emotion. I mean, the root of the word emotion is to motivate. Mm-hmm. And so any emotion can be used to motivate us to do something. So I do talk about anxiety with my clients who really struggle with it. And I talk about the difference between worry and concern. You know, when you're faced with a situation that is a problem or creates fear, you can do two things with it. One is you can look at it and say, okay, what are the parts that I can do something about? Mm-hmm. What do I have control over here? We always have control over our own response. Sometimes there are certain things we can do. We might need to change some situations, change some environments, change some people in our lives, change some behaviors. So where can mm-hmm. I make change? That's legitimate concern, to think about those things and to do what you can. But then there's those parts of the situations that we have no control over. Mm-hmm. We have no control over other people's responses. We have no control over some of these big things that happen in our society, or accidents, things like that, illnesses and disease. If it's something that we can't control, we need to let go of that. We can't sit and dwell on it and hang on to it. That's just needless worry. And so that's one thing we can do, is to really teach ourselves what's the difference between being concerned and taking action and just sitting and pointlessly mm-hmm. dwelling on something beyond my control. It's a good lesson for us to learn as adults and for us to teach our kids.
What happens when we needlessly worry? What does that then do? What does that turn into down the road? That turns into a big mess, doesn't it?
It does.
I mean, you know, when is worry unhealthy and dangerous?
Well, I mean, that is what drives people not only into counselors' offices, but it drives them into their doctors' offices. I've seen many people go to the emergency room with heart palpitations mm-hmm. and shallow breathing and sweating, and they thought they were having a heart attack, and it was panic. Mm. So, you know, yes, absolutely, worry left unchecked can lead to a host of physical, psychological, emotional, and relational problems. So some signs that you really need to get some help are, if you're not able to function function. You're not able to do the things that you know you need to do anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not able to get out and go to work and focus on work when you're there. You're not sleeping well. You know, you just can't get to sleep, or you're restless and toss and turn. You're not eating anymore, or mm-hmm. all you want to do is eat, like you mentioned earlier. That's we're feeding.
I don't think
that
mine's not rooted in fear. No.
So that kind of stuff, or where we just feel stuck. I mean, so many people come to me and they say, "I'm just stuck. I don't know what to do." Mm-hmm. And that's a point. Those are all warning signs that you really need to go and talk to somebody outside of yourself who can help you, maybe give you a fresh approach or an objective perspective. Maybe you do need some medical help at that time. But those are signs, you know, when you really don't know what to do anymore, and you can't make the changes that you need to make, or you can't just function in your daily mm-hmm. life.
And looking at that specifically as a parent, when we as parents encounter that type of fear, or that when fear has gone that far in our lives, our children are picking up on that too.
Absolutely. They're so sensitive to parents' emotions. It's amazing how early on, 2-3 years old, they can really pick up, even younger than that, they can understand the tone of mm-hmm. what's being said before they can understand the words being said. Kids do pick up on that.
So when we start to encounter fear, and we realize, and we take some time to look through it, maybe bringing, you know, employing the help of a professional, reputable professional, to help us think through, am I worried about things that I don't have control over, or are there things that I have control over that I can make, you know, make some efforts to help alleviate these fears? That's one thing. But if it's just totally out of control, or you think you're kind of on the edge, it's a good idea to definitely get the help of a licensed professional, a mental health professional to help you work through those things so that you and your family can be healthy.
Right. Or talking to other parents. Mm-hmm. You know, I love the idea of like mentoring mm-hmm. where an older couple who has gone through raising teenagers, maybe launching them out of the house. It can be so valuable mm-hmm. to sit down and talk with people who have walked that path before you and just learn from them. So, you know, wherever you can find that kind of support, whether it's formal or informal, mm-hmm. I encourage parents to do that. You know, MOPS groups are wonderful mm-hmm. to get mothers of preschoolers together, and usually with an older mother who's been through that. And so they can really learn what's normal and what's not. Do I need to be concerned about this? It's so helpful to realize mm-hmm. we're not alone in this.
Sure.
To get support.
Even I remember just one Sunday, our son had like some sort of rash or something like that, and I think we showed him to probably four different moms at church, and they're like, "Oh no, it's nothing big." And sure enough, it was nothing big in the end. But you know, as new parents, we were both worried. Right. You know, oh no, is this something that's contagious? Are we making everybody right. sick? And all the other moms, they didn't care. They're all just looking.
No, we do have to be careful, though, not to go to the other extreme end where you seek out professional advice. I mean, obviously, all the internet sites where you can right. check out, my child's coughing, what does this mean? Or even sometimes, and I have a lot of friends who are in the health profession, and sometimes, you know, doctors or nurses who work in hospitals, they see the worst case scenario.
Sure.
So I've had this happen where I had questions about my young children's sicknesses, and I go to a nurse friend, and she'd tell me all the things that might be, and I was terrified. And so you just need to, again, take with a grain of salt, okay, get the professional advice, mm-hmm. look it up, talk to other parents. But in the end, you know, you can't simply blindly trust everybody else. You have to also rely on your instincts as a parent. You know your child better than anyone else does. And so it's again, that balance of seek support, seek advice, mm-hmm. seek expert opinion, and also listen to yourself and trust yourself.
So using those resources in a balanced sort of way, using those resources, the people around you, and using them. We're almost out of time. Anything else that you want to share with us today in terms of dealing with fear that parents might have? Any other points that we didn't get to? I know our conversation went so quickly. But I found it helpful as a parent, very helpful.
I think just, you know, as a Christian parent, to remember that these children are not ours. Mm-hmm. I frequently have to tell parents who come into my office, you know, you can't take all the credit and you can't take all the blame. you know, you're not the one that made your child this great superstar. Mm-hmm. If your child's doing great, that's right. Because God put those gifts and abilities, mm-hmm. and you looked for opportunities and you yeah. shaped, and so you're part of that, but you can't take all the credit. But at the same time, you can't take all the blame. When, you know, we've all seen these families where mm-hmm. great families, but a kid chooses to go the wrong way. You can't beat yourself up with guilt and take all the blame either. We mm-hmm. got to realize these kids are each made individual, unique mm-hmm. People, and they have a path that they need to go. Our job is to do the best we can with what we have.
And we may be key in shaping them and that path. We may be mm-hmm. key shapers of that, but we're not alone in that. There's certainly right. so many other forces, good and bad, that are part of shaping that. Janine Liebman, therapist and EAP counselor and consultant with H&H Health Associates. Thanks so much for being our guest today on Faith and Family. Great to talk with you again.
Thanks, Andy.
I feel much better now. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk with Dr. Mary Mon Simon right here on Faith and Family.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration and action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Ida and Andy Raymond were excited that number 3 child was on the way until doctors told them an ultrasound showed several serious health issues with the baby. They strongly urged abortion. The parents said no, and their daughter was born perfectly healthy. Robin and Adam Wilson faced a similar situation. Ultrasound detected serious health issues and doctors pressed for abortion. Their baby was also born healthy. I fear thousands of healthy babies are being aborted because of false positives. It seems many doctors prefer aborting and starting over instead of thoroughly investigating the evidence. Even if the baby has a health problem, God made him or her for a reason. No matter what, refuse to end the life of your unborn baby. Always leave them in God's hands.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Worldwide KFUO salutes our day sponsor on this Friday, December 5th, 2014. Today's day sponsor is Reverend Dr. Kevin Golden. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to Worldwide KFUO in loving memory of Kevin's grandmother, Velma Dunsing. Once again, we say thank you to Reverend Dr. Kevin Golden of St. Louis, Missouri, today's Worldwide KFUO day sponsor.
As a synod, we walk together in all we do, whether it is to bring mercy to others or to plant new churches. This month, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is highlighting our many partners in the gospel that include districts, congregations, auxiliaries, seminaries, schools, and recognized service organizations. Find resources at lcms.org/themes/December.
Protect yourself and those around you by getting your flu vaccine. It is your best defense against the flu. Annual vaccination against flu is recommended for all people 6 months of age and older, unless they have a condition or medical reason not to get the vaccine. Stay in the game, get vaccinated, and help us tackle the flu.
To find a flu vaccine clinic near you, go to mo.gov and click on the flu vaccine locator. This message is brought to you by the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
Hi, Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to invite you to join me Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for Reformation Rush Hour. We'll have some of today's most interesting and intelligent people on the show. We'll talk about news that affects your faith. We'll look at the world around you and talk about how it interacts with Christianity. And we'll have a good time doing it all. This is the fastest hour in radio as you drive home Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
We need something stronger, and God doesn't give us the latest and the almost greatest. He gives us Himself. That's why we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Jesus' birth and the arrival of His strength and His salvation for us.
Pastor Gregory Seltz, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Friday, December 5th, and we are celebrating 90 years of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And part of that celebration, we get to bring back some voices from the past, some personalities. And joining me in studio today, Dr. Mary Mons Simon, educator, award-winning author with more than 3 million books out, and also served as host for a short format program called Front Porch Parenting that aired for nearly 15 years, was also on nearly, 300 stations. Mm-hmm. Dr. Mary Mons Simon, welcome back to Worldwide KFUO. Good to get to spend some time with you today.
Thanks, Andy. It's wonderful to be here in your new studios. This is really a great place.
A little bit different environment than what the studios, with all the history of the old studios, there's so much character in them, but now we get to be in these new studios. A little bit different environment, huh?
It's beautiful. I definitely would trade it.
And we have this big window here in the front of the studio, so we get to see everybody coming in, the internationals coming and going in and out of the International Center. It's a fun place to be. I love being here in the mornings for his time, where I get to see all the employees and visitors coming in first thing in the morning. I get to greet them and wave to them. So it's kind of fun to be in these studios.
Well, it's great to build those kind of relationships.
It is. And let's reflect on some of your time at KFUO, host of Front Porch Parenting. Tell us about that program. I know it was a short format program. It was really only a minute long, I believe?
It was 1 minute.
One minute.
So Paul Clayton and I would tape 53 to 55 seconds. And if we were a little short or whatever, Gary Duncan, our wonderful engineer, would fill in. Or Paul, who was so good on the mic, he would just, kind of fill the space. But even though I scripted all the scripts for almost 15 years, as you mentioned, it would be a conversation. It would be kind of a discussion.
Sure.
So that our listeners would feel like they were really listening into a conversation that Paul and I would have about parenting issues.
Sure. And we do a lot of that here on Faith and Family. I mean, that's certainly a little bit longer than a minute now, but we get to have those conversations that are so important about being parents and the things we encounter.
Right. We did a minute because I had 3 kids in 3.5 years. So I knew about how much time a parent would have. And that minute, it was really a great time because, as you mentioned, being on 293 stations plus countless websites, Gary and Paul were so innovative in their radio life that we were certainly some of the first to be on streaming and all with the internet stuff. So we had lots of churches that put Front Porch Parenting on their church websites so they could offer parenting content fresh every weekday without having to go through all the hassle of doing it themselves. So we had a really good reception with the program.
A helpful resource for parents.
Absolutely. It was expert advice from a friendly shoulder. So that was the tagline,
sure.
And that really worked well, because it was very practical. It was stuff. Front Porch Parenting was what you'd talk about on the front porch just visiting with somebody.
Right.
What was the issue you were dealing with today? Here it is.
It's not a classroom. It's not a lecture hall. It's the front porch, that conversation.
Real-time parenting.
Let's talk about your background as an educator, because you alluded to this just a little bit ago. You're relying on the engineering talents of Gary and the radio talents of Paul. Let's go back to your background as an educator. Now, you have a doctorate in education. What's your area of emphasis? What's your specialization? What do you love to study and share about so much?
Early childhood. That's really my love. My personal mission statement is connecting young children and their families with the Word of God. So that really is my umbrella. Mm-hmm. And that overlays everything that I do, that I used to do, that I still do now.
What was it like as an educator coming into this world of radio? I'm an educator too, and getting to come into this world of radio is unique. Tell me about your experience.
It was very easy because I had done so much speaking. Mm-hmm. I had spoken all over the United States and Canada to parents, to educators. I had done so much media. I've done literally hundreds of TV and radio shows on all kinds of topics, usually related to practical parenting issues. Mm-hmm. So it was a very natural transition. I did it for a year just on KFUO before KFUO decided, you know, we really have, mm-hmm. this is part of our world mission outreach.
Sure.
And we had we had countries all over the world airing Front Porch Parenting. So it was an extension, mm-hmm. of what locally was happening in St. Louis, you know, all over the globe.
What have you been up to lately as an educator and as a speaker and one who shares great practical advice for parenting? What are some of the things you've been up to lately?
Well, recently I've been working with Dayspring, mm-hmm. On the Crayola brand. So we have new products out. Really exciting stuff. It is great to bring the Crayola technology of dry erase, you know, those whiteboards that you use in corporate America, to kids so that they can just draw on pages or activity cards and then erase it if they have a better idea or another idea. And tomorrow they might not have a whole different thing that they're going to respond to. So it's a wonderful opportunity to bring, you know, cutting-edge technology through Crayola, mm-hmm. with the Dayspring brand, which is known for Christian content. And it's been just so much fun.
Now, yesterday, I worked through a Noah's Ark, which was one of the dry erase activity tablets in this set. And if you look at my artwork, you're probably going to assume that it was my son who drew this and not myself, although his artwork would probably be better than mine. Walk us through what are some of the things that you want a child to gain from this activity tablet. And then we also have the learning activity cards as well.
Well, certainly biblical literacy. Mm-hmm. If you look at the statistics, they're awful. They're just horrendous. So anything that we can do to get people to interact with the Word of God with kids. If we can also let them draw these mental pictures that, mm-hmm. will make the Bible come to life for them. Because a lot of kids say, well, the Bible really isn't relevant, doesn't have meaning for me today. Wow, it sure does. Mm-hmm. You know, when you interact with this content, these stories are as real as you're ever going to get. You look at Noah, you know, issues like obedience and faithfulness and patience. Mm. My goodness. this is a classic example of someone who would be an ideal mentor type for kids today. Mm-hmm. And when they look at those character qualities, talk about character education. Wow. No, it's a classic.
Sure. Quite often we treat, I know our culture does, treats God's word as, well, it's a Bible, it's just another book. And we really treat it with, you know, just the superficial approach, take the surface level and not really are engaged with the scriptures and not really engaged to look at what all we can learn from it, what all we can gain from it. And certainly we quite often overlook the work of the Holy Spirit in the scriptures as well.
Right. And the Dayspring Crayola materials are a perfect example of lifestyle Christianity. That's really what we're all about in our daily living. You know, how is our being a Christian, embracing the gospel message of Jesus Christ, how does that drive our everyday activities? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it can take the form of responding to a Bible story for a child, but also at, mm-hmm. looking at some of those issues that kids are dealing with and families and everybody deals with on a regular basis. So what it does is completely remove that thing of the Bible is irrelevant. Wow, the Bible is real time. Mm-hmm. This has real time meaning for me today in my life and what I'm facing right now.
Let's take a look at some of the pages in the tablet and see how that happens. Just in the beginning, looking at the Noah's Ark activity tablet, the dry erase, and I'll get out my crayons here.
That's good.
It's not very often I get to use crayons in this studio here.
Andy, you could use the dry erase crayons or dry erase pencils or dry erase markers Crayola.
Okay.
So there are three different kinds of writing tools. And with the crayons, those are a little bit chunky.
They are. They're for smaller hands, I think.
Right. Or what you want to do with children is to always give them a choice. You know, we assume that children want to use things that are really thick or really short. Give them a choice. Let them find what works best for their hand at that moment. Because as kids develop, they will change in terms of their preferences. What will fit their hand well today might not fit their hand as well next year. So if in your Crayola container, you've got some real thick ones, some long ones, some short ones, then they can make that choice. They can make that decision.
And also giving them an opportunity to make a choice in something that's, you know, giving them choices and options now. Would you like to use the crayons or the pencils? It's really insignificant to us, and the outcome is probably, the consequences from that choice are really insignificant, but it gives them an opportunity to learn how to make decisions.
Absolutely, and I hear the educator in your voice there. But it's the process of making a decision. How does a child learn to make decisions when at some point they could be life or death decisions,
right,
in the teen years even? Start to make very simple decisions. What's the process? They're going to apply that same process when they make those bigger decisions.
You're right. Learning how to make decisions using simple decisions with insignificant consequences now really impacts those bigger decisions that, as you pointed out, even during the teen years could be a matter of life or death.
Right. And we have choice mentality today in our life. I mean, just go to the yogurt in the dairy container of the grocery store.
Sure.
And there are hundreds of yogurt options. How do you go about making that decision? You're applying that same decision-making process that a child is going to apply many times, even in his school day today.
Yes, but sometimes my decisions don't necessarily involve rationale or any rational thinking.
We are emotionally driven sometimes.
Especially when it comes to food, right?
Very true.
So
how are you doing on your coloring?
Okay, so the first page, God created a wonderful world. Everything was beautiful. Draw one butterfly, two trees, and three birds. Now, my butterfly is kind of hidden in the tree here, but birds, I think my birds came out pretty nicely
Let's see.
In the mountains. Looking, the little birds in the sky in the mountains.
Yeah.
My trees,
I see those.
Not so great on the trees there. I tried.
Oh, but I like the way you use the green. That matches the grass really well. And see what I just did?
Mm-hmm.
I made a positive statement that reflected back on your choice. That's what, as parents, we can do. We can use whatever content that child gives us and reverse it back to affirm what they did, what kind of choice they made. And then they can go on from there feeling, wow, I did pretty well.
Thank you. Now, the second page here, the story of Noah. Noah worshipped and obeyed God, but other people forgot about God. God told Noah, I am going to send rain that will flood the earth. Make a big boat so you will be safe. And the activity here, draw tools that Noah can use to build the ark. Now, I came up with a mallet. I drew a little mallet here, but I'm not really sure what other tools they might have, rudimentary tools they would have at that time. See, I'm overthinking this, aren't I?
I'm not sure a four-year-old would do that.
Exactly.
But they would think, what kind of tools does my daddy use?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of tools did my mom use to fix when the sink was stuck?
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, because see what they're doing? They're relating the Bible to their real life.
Mm-hmm.
They're bridging the gap between Bible times and times today in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So that's okay, because see, the Bible is becoming very real to them. And the points that are made, God created the earth, everything was beautiful, but some people disobeyed God.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't worship God. Look at how that sets up what we're experiencing right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And today we're experiencing the flood in St. Louis.
It does. Yes. I noticed some people out in the parking lot building an ark.
Right. There's little space to park there.
It's certainly raining quite a bit here in St. Louis. Now, some of the activities involve not just drawing, but also crossword and some other things. And then we also have the learning activity cards, which employ the same concept as well, using the dry erase markers or crayons or pencils and doing some activity. Now, the math, I have to say, was challenging.
It is. Well, you know, there's that common core getting in here. But we know that children have the ability to learn in so many different ways. And so each of the dry erase materials that will be coming out, and there's a long line of them that will be coming out from DaySpring Crayola, will have a focus on specific learning skills in math or in language arts. So it could be comparison of sizes, it could be initial consonants, it could be early sight words. Whatever the focus is, those will be reflected using the Bible story as a base. So as a child interacts with that story, they are practicing some learning skills that they need to practice.
Now, these activity cards, the Noah's Ark Learning Activity Cards, Dry Erase, Bible Fund from DaySpring, here's one of the cards. Noah had 9 wood pegs on his workbench. Whoops, 5 pegs rolled off. Write the number of wood pegs Noah has left. This is some pretty serious math.
It is, especially when you get into some of the graphing. Because kindergarten, first grade, because you have a kindergarten, first grade level here, we also have preschool level materials. But these are real, this is real practice. And this is what is appropriate for kindergarten and first grade learners today.
So write the number of the wood pegs Noah has left. Well, he started with 9 and 5 rolled off. I'm going to go with 4 are left.
Excellent. And you could even check your answer on the answer key. There is a card with all the answers.
Oh, I'll have to
so
find
if
that.
It was a little tricky, you know, on any of those future cards, you could check your
go
answers.
Look it up. Oh, very good.
You could also, in the activity card pack, you could also read the entire story of the Bible story, whatever the Bible story was. In this case, it's Noah. We also have David and Goliath for a preschool level. And there'll be, as I said, many
more
others coming out.
Now, what prompted the idea for this series? Where did this concept begin? And where are you hoping to go with it?
Anything we can get kids to interact with the Bible. You know, in any kind of a way, parents today want their kids to express imagination, to be self-expressive, to be creative. Those are important values for parents today. They also want to provide enrichment. The EDU component, the education component, is very, very strong. So parents want their kids to have fun, be creative, but they also want them to grow and learn. So it just kind of combines all these different things. And when I came together with Crayola and DaySpring, it just kind of, you know, you kind of let God direct these things. And it's been fascinating to see how he's taken this next stage of my career.
Now, the materials, are these out in circulation? Are these out and available?
They're just coming out now. So right now, it's probably best if you go to christianbook.com. They're available there, and they're just getting into the marketplace. So we're kind of, this program is kind of a launch. It's a little bit ahead of when you can go to the store and buy them.
That was my next question. Will they be out in retail very soon?
Yes.
Maybe in time for Christmas?
Hopefully. You know, in a Lifeway or a Family Christian store, you know, just check it out.
So you can hopefully find these cards, the DaySpring Bible Fun learning activity cards and the dry erase activity tablets. Now, as you mentioned, we have you have the Noah's Ark and also David and Goliath. Preschool K through 1.
Right. Some are designated for preschool learning skills and others are K-1. And we'll have Bible stories from the Old Testament and the New Testament. So by the time they all get out, we'll pretty much cover the basic top 10 stories.
Well, very good. Any any other ideas or any other things that you might be working on that you can allude to? Might not be able to tell us, but anything else that we might be looking for in the future as well?
Sure. There'll be a couple new books, God Loves Puppies and God Loves Kitties. And those will be coming out from Ideals Guideposts mid-year next year.
All right.
So those will be fun. But anything that gets kids and parents and grandparents to interact together, focused on, you know, what God has done for us and for all, you know, the message of the good news of salvation that we have. So that's kind of my focus.
How might we use these at home? You know, I could imagine during summer they might be a nice daytime activity, but would these also be good for like a end of the day sort of activity?
They're great for that, but also in the back seat of a car when you're traveling, they're great to put in that bag you take into church. We look for churches to buy multiple copies of these because with dry erase, you can reuse them constantly. Daycare, childcare centers, home daycare, you can buy just one copy or two copies and you can have all your children or all your students learn from them because just as you've seen, they wipe off really cleanly.
That did clean up pretty quickly, my answer there, and we'll see if I can clean them off the tablet pretty easily here as well. We can use these throughout the day. We can use these at various times. What else can we do as parents besides resources like this? What can we be doing as parents to increase Bible literacy for our children? You mentioned earlier that that's an epidemic, if you will, the illiteracy of the scriptures. What can we be doing as parents to help our children learn the scriptures, learn the gospel of Jesus in the scriptures? What else can we be doing?
Ask yourself, does my child see the bookmark move in my Bible today? Because we are modeling that kind of behavior. How often do you go to God in prayer for your child and with your child? You know, it's more than just the mealtime prayer. It's also the model you present when you're in a restaurant. Are you going to go ahead and have that mealtime prayer? Are you going to join hands and pray? It's what you do every day. It's that lifestyle Christianity that means so much. You know, I saw that when I first wrote the Little Visits books from Concordia Publishing House. You know, those devotions were really written on scraps of paper and McDonald's napkins and spelling lists of how God was at work in our children's life every day. And if at the end of the day you can reflect back, how did I see God at work in my child's life? That God sighting can be a wonderful way to remind your children of how busy God was in your life today, because it's not just that Bible that sits on the shelf. It's how God is actively working and engaging with you every day in everything you do.
Sure. We look at all these first article things around us. This is, Noah's Ark one tablet is a great way to do that. Look at all these first article things around us that God has created and provided for us for our benefit, for our good. He does this so generously. We can look at all these things and with these really cool dry erase crayons, I can draw pictures about it.
And that's the fun part, too.
And I might even leave some dry erase notes for my for the other talent coming in the studio, the other staff coming in the studio here in a little while.
And what a neat way to communicate, Andy, that that this isn't, the Bible isn't something that's just old and boring and sticks on a shelf. It is something that is, those biblical truths are very relevant for us in everyday activities. I mean, that's what a living faith really is all about.
And that allows us to engage in conversation with our children. That helps us engage in conversation about God's Word. So as you said, that they realize that the Word of God is not just a book, it's the living Word of God, and God wants us to engage in conversation. Our time is wrapping up already. I know, it's gone so quickly. With just a few seconds left, let's see, I think we mentioned that folks can find these, christianbook.com and maybe some other outlets, hopefully in retail coming up in the next few months. And anything else you want to share with us as we wrap up our time together?
I hope that our family families have a blessed Adventide. You know, this is such a wonderful time that we can count do our Christmas countdown as we look toward the birth of Jesus. This is a great time. If you haven't done devotions, if you haven't had regular prayers, try it now. This gives us an excuse almost to look for that baby in the manger and start your Christmas countdown. March those creche figures through your house toward the manger and have a blessed Christmas.
Thank you. Thank you. Dr. Mary Mons-Simon, educator and award-winning author. Thank you so much for being our guest today on Faith and Family.
Thank you, Andy.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO. The messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO. On the air, online, and on demand.